up, everybody? I'm Tim number 37 Martinez, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. And today I get to catch up with my good friend, Tim number 37 Martinez. How you doing today, Tim?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hi, Bill. It's nice to talk to you. I'm doing really, really, really good. I'm happy to be a part of the show. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. We've been wanting to make this happen for a little bit ever since we talked at incarceration, and I'm glad we're getting it done, man.
Yeah, I know. Like, literally every time we scheduled something, something came up in either one of our lives, or like last week when I was supposed to call in but literally had no voice because, for those that don't know, even though I think everyone does know, I live in New York City, and our weather is completely insane. Mother Nature has been tripping on some really bad acid, and she's drunk and has no idea what the fuck she's doing. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I curse on here?
It's all in an adult program here, so you're good.
Oh, okay, good, because I have like my mom, rest in peace, used to say, she's like, you got a mouth like a trucker. I'm like, you mean a motherfucking trucker? She's like, stop it. Stop that now. But no, like, Mother Nature has truly been tripping like crazy. Like, literally, one day last week, it was 90 degrees. The next day, a high of 55. So, like,
I tell you what,
we're,
man,
you're all getting sick.
You're preaching to the choir here for all the Cleveland listeners because,
that's true.
We get the same kind of weather. You know, but
yeah, that's true. You guys do get hit during the winter time, though. You do get hit with a lot more snow in Ohio than we do here in New York. And I'm mad at that because I fucking loathe snow. Everyone's always like, "Oh my God, it's so pretty! It's so white and pretty." I'm like, "No, it's not. It's gross. It's evil. It doesn't go anywhere. It becomes slush. It becomes ice. You slip and fall out." I just really hate snow, which is why at some point in my life I need to move to LA because they don't know what snow is out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to look at for a little bit, but it gets old quick. It's like, send the grandkids back home.
Yeah, in a
home,
picture,
you know?
Or on a TV screen or a movie screen. That's the only time I ever feel like it's nice to look at.
I got you, man. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about your background in the music world, in the music industry.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got quite a history, a number of years. I think 18 years now you've been involved?
Yes, I have been officially a part of the music industry, most predominantly in the heavy metal and hard rock world. Earlier this year, March was 18 years. Next year, 2020, March will be 20 years. Because I started officially in 2001.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Yeah. So tell us about, let's go back a little bit further. When you were a kid, man, what kind of music caught your ear and kind of just lit that fire that you knew you wanted to do something when you got older and be involved in music?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm an only child. And my parents, my mom passed away 4 years ago, rest in peace. She was an incredible, incredible mother, but it took us a long time to get each other because I come from a born-again Christian family. Okay. And like literally all my relatives are born-again Christians. So I always knew that I was gay. And from kindergarten, my first crush was on a boy, the class clown named Brian. I still remember him. And even though I was only like 5 years old, 6 years old, while boys were starting to notice girls, I really didn't care. I was noticing the wrestlers that my dad was watching on when it was still called the WWF. So I wasn't allowed to listen to any music that wasn't gospel or contemporary Christian until I was about 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very, very sheltered. I had to go to church every Sunday for about 3 hours a day because they went to one of the most popular born-again Christian churches in the world called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They have a 200-plus person choir that has won Grammy Awards up the ass, and, like, it's a very famous church. But the services back then were from 2 to 3 hours long, and I was always so bored. But always was, you know, this is back, I just turned 40 years old 2 weeks ago. So, like, I'm going back to the 80s.
Okay.
And back then, there was no real queer representation in the media like we have today. It's everywhere. And I'm grateful to be alive to see that the LGBTQ community has become so mainstream. So kids like myself have people easily to look up to and to look at and to not feel alone. So when it comes to music, the first artist that I got into that was considered secular music was Madonna. My sixth grade best friend, his name was Eddie Sindigaki. I still remember him. I have no idea whatever happened to him. I hope to meet up with him again one day. We haven't seen each other since the sixth grade or spoken for that fact. And I don't remember how to spell his name, so I can't find him on Facebook or anything. But he really changed my life. His parents were very, like, hippy-dippy and loved Madonna. And so they had the Immaculate Collection, the CD and the VHS tape that came with all the music videos to all her hit singles that was on the Immaculate Collection. So he put it on. He put the video on one day. He was like, you know, this is girl Madonna. I was like, of course I heard the name, but I had seen, like, Desperately Seeking Susan and Who's That Girl? So I was familiar with her, but I wasn't really familiar with the music because I wasn't allowed to listen to the music if it wasn't in the movie. Okay. So he put on the Immaculate Collection VHS tape, and I mean, seeing the video for Like a Prayer just completely triggered something in me. And I was like, whoa. And seeing this beautiful woman, not that I wanted to fuck her, I wanted to be her. I was like, oh my God, this woman is everything. And each video was more and more controversial, and everything that the church was against. And knowing that I was gay, well, at that time, I didn't realize that that's what I was, that I was gay. I knew I liked boys. I knew I was attracted to boys, but I didn't get it. And I refused to accept it because of my upbringing, being told that there's a demon of homosexuality and that gay people burn in hell for all eternity. And these things are terrifying.
Yeah, they are. Especially at a young age, mind trying to just grasp the world, and then you have all that shame and guilt and fear cast upon you. Trust me, I get it.
You're 100% right. So seeing this artist, this beautiful woman who gave zero fucks and literally just did her, and the music itself is incredible. I don't care what kind of music you are into, you cannot know one person in this world, in the 8 billion people on this planet, I think that's the number we're at. There is not one of them that cannot say they've never either A, heard a Madonna song, or B, likes at least one of her songs. You know?
Yeah.
So Madonna was really the first artist that I ever got into. And then at 10 years old, I was allowed to start listening to, like, Z100 radio, like pop radio. But only for a little bit, and my mom monitored very closely what I listened to. So I got into, like, Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul, a lot of the pop artists. And even Janet Jackson was quite controversial, especially with her album Janet, with That's the Way Love Goes. And the lyrics to If, I mean, people think mumble rap is a new thing. No, no, no. Janet Jackson's been doing that shit since 1992. Like, because the song If, she's mumble rapping. But, like, lyrics like, you know, you're smooth and shiny, feel so good against my lips, sugar. Okay, she's talking about a penis. Like, shit was really, it was crazy. So I got into that. It was when I was 14 that a school friend of mine had me on the phone, and he played Metallica's One for me over the phone. And I had never heard anything like it. So I really started getting, like, seeing more. I'm sorry, I was about 12 or 13, because at 14 I started buying cassette tapes. I started buying, like, Nirvana, Hole was a big thing for me. I love Courtney Love. I know a lot of people hate her, but when it comes to, I'm a big, 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 you know, fan of female fronted bands, and they're pretty much my favorite bands have been female fronted bands. And Courtney Love and Hole was what really opened that up for me. So the grunge scene, when I was a young teenager, like 13, 14 years old, that's really when I started to get into the rock and roll and heavy and heavier music stuff. So it was the sounds of Hole, Nirvana, even Green Day. I mean, granted, they were pop punk, but still they were badass. And God knows Billy Joe Armstrong. That was one of my biggest crushes of all time. And, you know, Soundgarden, rest in peace, Chris Cornell. Alice in Chains, rest in peace, Lane Staley. Oh, I could keep going down the list, but I'll be saying rest in peace a whole lot. So
yeah,
the grunge, it's totally unfortunately, because a lot of them way before their time should have been. And so the grunge scene is what really got me into a lot more of a, what's called extreme or alternative music. And then when I was 15 and I saw the music video for Sweet Dreams by Marilyn Manson, that was when I knew something needed to be done, that my life was going to go in a specific direction, because I had never seen or heard anything like him. And I became obsessed. And to this day, my two favorite artists in the world are Madonna and Marilyn Manson, my queen and my king.
Ohio
and,
born.
Oh, I know. Akron, Ohio. I know where he's from. Trust and believe. And I read that Long Hard Road book quite a few times. That was my Bible in high school. it's a fantastic read. If anyone hasn't read The Long Hard Road Out of Hell by Marilyn Manson with Neil Strauss, they really, really need to, because there's some fucked up shit in there. So it was really the sounds of Marilyn Manson and his look. And he was another one that was very, you know, fuck you to the church. Now, listen, I'm not like saying that I'm anti-God or anything, but I am very anti-religion. I'm all for spirituality. I'm all for believing in God, believing in Jesus, whatever you believe in that keeps you going. I have friends who are Satanists. I have friends who are Buddhists. I have friends who are pagan. I do not care what your belief is and what your spirituality is, because that's personal to you. But
exactly.
I do have a very strong dislike for organized religion, because that's the shit that preys on the weak, takes money from people, while these televangelists are living lives better than A-list fucking actors that I know, and making more money off of poor people. It's just disgusting what organized religion has done and continues to do. And let's not even get into the Catholic Church and the priests with the boys, because I could be here for hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's true.
No,
so,
I know. And look, we had one of the biggest televangelists, Ernest Angley, grew up, or you know, his chapel was right down the street from where Marilyn Manson grew up. So in a sense, he probably helped create him, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so grateful. Oh, look, more organized religion did something good. They helped create Marilyn Manson. So, but that's how I got into music. And then, you know, I had a friend of mine. I am a gay man, and I do identify as a homosexual, but there is one female in the world that I ever had actual romantic feelings for. And she knows it. Her name is Jamie Ann, and I adore her. And she took me to my first live concert ever when I was 15 in 1995. She took me to CBGB's to see Crisis with Candiria.
Oh,
and,
man, good show.
Oh, yes. And I had never felt the energy that I felt that night ever. I mean, granted, I was only 15, but still, that when the first band, and I remember the opening act, their name was Shed, and I still have the T-shirt. I don't fit into it anymore because, you know, after 25 years, your body ain't the same as it was when it was 15. But I still have the T-shirt, and I still have the CD, and I remember Shed was the opening band, and the energy that I felt, my body didn't stop moving. My head didn't stop banging, and I remember in CBGB's, seeing the band, feeling the energy from the crowd, looking at the faces of the people in the crowd. I was like, this is where my life has to go. This is where I belong. I belong here. Because my entire existence up to 15, I felt so lost and so alone as an only child, a.k.a. lonely child, and a born-again Christian family who felt that he was destined for doom because of who I am. And then
felt like
I
an
found
alien
myself.
on a planet that's not yours, you know?
Yeah, I was E.T. desperately searching for home. And I found it in the live music experience. And that's when I knew I needed something in my life had to involve live music and music in general, because there's nothing else like it. There's a phrase that I absolutely love, and it says, music says what the soul feels. And it's so true. So that was Crisis Canberra at CBGB's in 1995. Thank you to Jamie Ann Isola. I know, I'm sure she'll listen because she supports everything I do. I love you, girl, and you know that I credit you for being the one to start my love for live music. And here I am, 25 years later, still doing the fucking thing.
Let's talk a little bit about then when you transitioned into actually getting involved and working behind the scenes and stuff. I mean, is this something that you went to school for, or was this all DIY? What's that story?
In all honesty, this fell in my lap. I am very lucky. I caught a break out of nowhere. My first job ever as a teenager was a telemarketer for the Daily News. I know telemarketers are more hated than Hitler, I got cursed out a lot.
I've got a background with telemarketing too, so I
a lot of people do. It's a lot of people's first jobs, and I'm not embarrassed by it. I was there for like a year and a half, but I remember this chick walking in one day, totally gopped out, but drop dead gorgeous. And I had just gotten back from visiting my aunt in California. She lived there then, but we don't talk anymore, so fuck that bitch. I was wearing a brand new Marilyn Manson T-shirt that I had gotten while I was in L.A., and I'm sitting there, and this beautiful goth chick sits next to me, and she goes, "Oh my god, I love Marilyn Manson," and like she grabs onto my t-shirt, almost ripped it. I was like, "Listen, bitch, get the fuck off my new shirt." That girl, and she started laughing. We started talking about Manson. This was 1996, because the next year Ozfest 97 Manson was going to be performing at. So we ended up sitting next to each other every day at work, getting to know each other, going out to lunch together, because we were two of the only freaks. There were two other chicks that worked there for a short period of time as well that I was very close to, but they don't really pertain. We just went to a lot of shows together, and that's Michelle and Christina, and I still keep in touch with them a little bit here and there, and I have nothing but love for them, but they both live very, very, very different lives than I do, and one is now married with kids. The other one is living her life in Florida, and I love them. We'll always have love for them, but the chick I was sitting next to, and that we bonded and ended up going out to lunch together every day, that was Julia Chernetsky, a.k.a. Mistress Julia.
Oh, man, awesome.
So, yeah. So we stayed friends, always kept in contact. She started doing some modeling when she was like 17, 18. So she started getting more involved in modeling, and she was becoming pretty successful because, I mean, just look at the girl. Mm-hmm. And I started working at an auto accident law firm with my aunt Haiti, and I wasn't happy there, but it was money. I was 19 years old. I needed money, 1920. So I kept going. Most of my paychecks, and then eBay came around and PayPal came around, and I got my first credit card, and eBay plus PayPal plus credit card equals the Antichrist, because I think I'm still in debt. But like, I kept going to concerts, and then I would see Julia at all the concerts. And one day she's like, "I'm actually filming some stuff." And I'm like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" So she told me about this website, Heavy, that she was doing interviews for, heavy.com. And she ended up, through that, finding out about a new television cable network that was coming to the States called Much Music USA. And I, of course, knew of Much Music because of its Canadian supremacy, because Much Music is like the MTV of Canada, except they still play music. And so she ended up you know, being a part of the Tastemakers thing they did every week. So watchers of this brand new cable network, which was very small at the time, would submit a video from their webcam every week and be like 5 to 10 different people. And whoever was on the website, on the message boards and whatnot, would vote for their favorite tastemaker every week. Julia won every week for a year straight. So when they finally, Much Music, you know, had a budget, had some sponsors and, you know, had some investors, they ended up telling her, listen, the people obviously like you. Do you want to have your own show? She said, yes, that show turned out to be Uranium. So I was really happy for her. We still kept in touch. And, you know, I ended up hanging out at a New England Metal and Hardcore Festival one weekend that she filmed, and it was really a lot of fun. But the season finale of season one, Uranium lasted 7 seasons, and I'm really, really fucking proud of that, because not a lot of shows, especially music-based shows, do not last that long. So it was an anti-Valentine's Day special, and they asked me, oh, do you want to introduce a video? The producer was like, do you want to introduce one of the videos? You got a cool personality. And I said, sure. So I introduced the video on camera, spoke a little bit about why I didn't like Valentine's Day, and cursed out one of my exes. And the next thing I know, the message board started blowing up, and people were like, yo, who's that Tim guy? That Tim guy seems cool. Oh, the girls were going nuts. They were like, that Tim guy's fucking hot. We want to see more of him. And then I ended up working on the show as a correspondent. I helped, you know, I helped. I was like Julia's assistant with a lot of things. I helped them get bands to be on the show. I helped pick bands to be covered on the show. I ended up on screen most of the time. I ended up doing little, like a co-host. I was I was an official correspondent for the show. And I ended up doing that for 6 out of the 7 years. And while I was doing that, because I realized, I was like, this is not going to last forever. What else do I want to do? Okay, I've got all these connections. I've met all the people I've ever really wanted to meet, except Madonna. I still haven't met her. But I've met everyone else I've ever wanted to meet.
Madonna, and, if you're listening.
Yeah, I doubt it. But like, always good to throw out there. I'm actually going to probably, I'm going to see her again tonight perform. She's doing a residency in Brooklyn for 2 weeks.
Nice.
Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. So I ended up on 6 out of the 7 seasons. This month. We're in October. The final episode of season 7 aired 12 years ago this month.
Wow.
And yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. So I decided, okay, I want to start putting together my own concerts. I was like, I'll just name it Tim Number 37 Productions, because that was my TV name. I didn't want to just be Tim Martinez, because I see, especially in the metal and rock world, people have cool nicknames. And I didn't just want to be Tim Martinez or Tim M. You know, Julia had Mistress Julia and whatnot. So I after Marilyn Manson's album Antichrist Superstar came out in 96, which is an album that saved my life. I was suffering from severe depression, anxiety issues. I was a cutter. And I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, because I really didn't think I belonged in this world or I belonged in my family. And Antichrist Superstar really helped save my life. And the first time I got to actually meet Manson on his tour bus, I got to tell him that. And he got on his knees and signed my leg, and I have that autograph tattooed on my left leg now, back in 2003.
Wow.
And he was such a cool fucking dude, super, super cool dude. And I get to say, and mean it, I did drugs with Marilyn Manson. It was great. So still in my partying days. I'm over 6 years clean from drugs, so I don't want anyone thinking, like, I am very, very, very clean from drugs. I drink like a fish, but I do not touch any sort of narcotic at all, and weed is not a drug, so I don't want to hear it. So I decided, I'm like, all right, and the number 37, for people that don't know, since I did study numerology and Antichrist Superstar was based a lot around numerology, of course, I got interested in it. So I picked up some books from the library and I read up on it. And the number 3 represents the cycle of life, because everything happens in threes in life. And if you think about life, you'll realize that's a very common factor, is things happen in threes. The number seven is the balance that people search for. Seven is considered the perfect number. It is the happiness that we strive for. It's the balance that we strive for. Everything that we want good for ourselves, that's number seven. Three plus seven equals 10. Now, zero isn't acknowledged in numerology because it means nothing. It's not really a number. It's zero. So it drops back down to the number one. The number one represents a person's mind, a person's emotions, a person's heart, their soul, because there is only one of you, and you're in charge of your own success or your own failure. So I decided to say, hey, I'm going to be some number 37.
That is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
I did not know that. I'm glad we're having this conversation. That is amazing. Love it.
Yeah, you got it.
And we got a lot in common, a lot more in common, I realize. I, too, partied with Marilyn Manson back in the day. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to tell you about it when we talk some other time. But stay on subject, too.
Things you don't want to say on air because I get that. I've partied with him a few times. I know what can go down.
He was nice as – I mean – I hung out with him at the Fantasy Nightclub in Lakewood, first time I met him, and it was like right before they were getting ready to release Antichrist Superstar and go on tour. I got some pictures. I'll send them your way. It was
please do.
Good time, man. He was such a good dude. Let's get back on your transition over. Then you started the number 37.
I chose that name not only for television reasons, but because I was a part of a lot of message boards, like 40 Below Summer's message board, OTEP's message board, El Nino, From Autumn to Ashes, and everyone had some sort of cool name, and I didn't want to just be, again, didn't just want to be Tim or Tim M or any. So I, number 30, N-O-3-7. And then when I was on TV, they would put T-I-M, N-O-3-7. And so I was like, all right, I'll just start putting so it wasn't like I didn't know enough bands. I was on a fucking hit music TV show, so I was like, okay, I have my pick of the litter. So I started in Long Island, and I did my first show 18 years ago. Oh, I'm sorry, 2005, so 15 years ago, because I was doing TV. I pretty much stuck to just filming with Fuse and Uranium and Julia handling all her stuff as well for the first 4 years of my career in music. And then I was like, okay, I really want to start doing something under my own moniker and my own name. So then I created Tim Number 37 Productions. And my first show ever was with a band called KAG, like Kilohertz, but KAG, who was at the time a really, really big female-fronted industrial band. Their albums are on Spotify. Check them out, especially Reality on a Finer Scale. That is such a fucking fantastic album. And their second album, the album after that, oh my God, the name is escaping me. Disconnected. Disconnected is a brilliant industrial rock album. So any industrial rock fans out there, like Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson and stuff, check out KHZ and blast that shit. A band called Sonaria, who was even offered to be signed by Metal Blade Records, and they toured with Julia a lot. That was my first show ever. And it was a great success. And so I just went forth from there. And even to this day, I am still doing events. I don't do as many as I used to because, in all honesty, I'm tired. You know, I mean, I know I'm not old, but
it's 40, draining trying to control the whole. I don't know how our boy Dan does what he does, man, but God bless
you. Because he does it once a year.
Yeah.
If you give me a big festival and it's a once-a-year thing, and no disrespect, I'm not downplaying because that is not an easy job, but a once-a-year festival, it's a ton of work, but it's doable because it's once a year. So, and God bless him because he's another one. He came from doing tiny little shows and tours, and now he's running one of the biggest fucking festivals in America, and I couldn't be proud of him, and I love that man more than words can explain, because he is just a damn good dude.
Yeah,
and
he's
I'm
a real
super
great
proud
guy.
Of him.
And it's like, you know, I used to do some with Domain Cleveland. I used to put on shows, and
Okay.
It was just, I think, honestly, I mean, that was back when my addiction was at its worst, though, man. It was just like drinking and just to try and maintain, because it was just so much that now that's all. Now I just do the interviews. I keep domain going for the news and the interviews and stuff like that, because that just, you know, I just wasn't built for it, man, you know, and being in recovery now, you know, it's just like I'd rather go and hang out and have a conversation with people and get to know a little bit about their background and stuff, then try and make sure that people are staying on time and the band shows up on time and the guitar player's not running late from work or whatever excuses.
Oh, I get it.
All that stuff, you know?
Oh, I know. I know. It's another reason. And listen, and also in the long run, I've had a good run. My dream venue to work with was Webster Hall, and I got it. I was with them for 5 years before Jay-Z bought out the club, and now it's a completely different thing. But, you know, a lot of the dreams that I had as a teenager, I'm very grateful, I'm blessed, and I'm humbled to say most of my dreams as a teenager ended up coming true. And I know a lot of people can't say that. The things I've experienced, the traveling that I've done, the people that I've hung out with and become friends with, and, you know, just I'm very blessed, and that doesn't get lost on me. And I realize that times have changed, things have changed, and just because I don't have 50,000 or 500,000 followers on Instagram, and I may not be as popular now as I was back in the early, mid, and late 2000s, you know, but that doesn't take away from what I've contributed and what I've accomplished to the heavy metal, extreme music, and rock and roll scene. And I am very proud of that. And I'm very proud of the things that I've done that I've left behind that will be there forever and ever. Books that I was in, interviews I've done, videos on YouTube and whatnot. So I'm very proud of all that. And that's why, you know, I got to live that. Thank you. And then, you know, I started to want to give back, and I wanted to do more. And I was unfortunately the victim of a gay bashing, not once, but twice when I was younger. And I was put in the hospital, and shit really got bad. And so I started a little charity event concert series called Hate to Hate. And I had everyone from Cicely Saldana, who's the famous movie producer, Zoe Saldana, the actress's sister. She was a part of a couple of my Hate to Hate, because I grew up with the Saldana family. I was in a theater group with Zoe and Cicely and Mariel, the oldest sister, back when we were teenagers, and we toured Germany and Switzerland together. And so the Saldana family are very, very, very close to me, and I still keep in touch with them to this day. So Zoe has an insane schedule, so I don't see her often, but Cicely and I always kept in touch. I consider her one of my best friends. She's family to me. So when I was doing Hate to Hate, she was a big supporter and came out and hosted a couple of the events. So I had like Cicely Saldana, Chef Chris Santos from Food Network's Chopped, who's another one of my best friends. He has donated dinners at his restaurants like Beauty in Essex and Vandal and Stanton Social, and he came out and hosted. I had celebrity publicist Tyler Burrow be a big part of it. Mia Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter, the plus size model, she was a part of them. And I had bands, everyone from AC Slade to Mina Caputo from Life of Agony, her first show ever as Mina Caputo, as her authentic true self, was a Hate to Hate event.
Wow.
And I ended up winning a USA Network Characters Unite Award for my work with Hate to Hate. And I'm very proud of that time period of my life. Bullying will always be a thing. But at the time, in like around from 2010 to 2015, it was rampant with the suicides and children killing themselves. And it unfortunately still does exist, but it's not as much anymore as it was back then. I mean, back then's only like 6 years ago, but it still
goes on.
But
with social media now, it seems like it's even gotten more powerful and worse, you know?
That's how when Instagram first really started and Facebook really became big in 2009, that's when the online bullying really became a problem. And that's when I said, you know what, I have this platform, I have these connections, let me use it and do some good. So all in all, I've raised I think altogether I've raised over $20,000 for It Gets Better, the Trevor Project, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Hetrick Martin Institute. And I'm very proud of that. And I also have done a couple of Rock and Roll for the Cure events, and especially in honor of my mom, who passed away 4 years ago from a very, very rare form of cancer called cutaneous lymphoma. And my friend, my very good friend, Dez, who was a rock and roll photographer for like 40 Bullet Hole Summer and El Nino and E-Town Concrete and whatnot, a lot of the Jersey bands, her mom also unfortunately passed from cancer. So I did these Rock and Roll for the Cure benefits in honor of our moms and donated the money to the American Foundation for Cancer Research. And so now I work with the Rock Foundation. And
yeah,
I definitely wanted,
I mean, that was one of the main things that, you know, kind of united us at incarceration. And I wanted to talk about that. I mean, there's a lot of parallels between us that I don't know if you realize. I mean, my stuff hasn't been on as big as a level, but, you know, I unfortunately went through some, you know, losing my nephew Ryan to suicide back in 2001. And
breaks my heart.
And yeah, I mean, it affected our family deeply. It affected me. It was a rough, very rough time in my life. And but you know, I was already doing the Dollar Bill Bailey promotions that evolved into Domain Cleveland and stuff. So I was like, how can I use this as a platform to try and do good? And then I ended up starting a, you know, I started an annual suicide prevention benefit concert every year with that platform here in Cleveland. And we would do, I started, there was a place called the Berea Children's Home. It's now called Ohio Guidestone. And I started a fund in my nephew's name there. And the money that I had raised through those concerts, I donated there to help a lot of kids in, you know, foster care, kids that don't have, you know, just are going the world is really beating them up, and anything to support them. So I, you know, I've been through a similar place, and I tried to use it for good, and I've been blessed with the opportunity as it went on, as it built up to Derek Hess, you know, local famous artist known worldwide, you know, but from Cleveland. He teamed up with me on a couple of them. Jason Popson, J-Man from Mushroom Head, you know, a lot of guys got involved and helped out. And it was, that was where it was like finally, you know, trying to turn a bad situation and use what we had for good to help others. I don't do that anymore, but as my time went on in the military, I found out, you know, I realized I had been struggling myself with a lot of anxieties and depression and PTSD as a veteran. And, you know, now I try and get involved and help out with the, you know, the 22 veterans a day, you know, that we lose to suicide through PTSD and everything. So
yeah,
this subject and running into you, it's very personal for me as well. And I think that's what united us this year at incarceration. So tell us more about that.
Okay, the UROC Foundation was founded in 2013 by a man named Joseph Pinola, who's a lifelong sufferer of depression and anxiety, bipolar, which are all things that I have. My personal diagnosis is bipolar disorder type 2 with manic depression and anxiety issues. And I am medicated because I, for a long time, I self-medicated. But once I stopped doing the drugs, I realized that I did need help. So I'm back on medication, and I'm a clearer head. I don't have the issues like I used to. And when I started seeing about the UROC Foundation, I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome. I need to be a part of this. And the VP is Laura DeSantis Olson, who's a big-time photographer, and she's the vice president of the organization, so I hit her up. And I was like, Laura, I would like to get involved somehow with the UROC Foundation. And what they do, and well, what we do, is we interview heavy metal and rock and roll celebrities like Corey Taylor and Jonathan Davis and Randy Blythe and Tommy Vext and Otep Shemaya, Heidi and Carla from the Butcher Babies, you know, like anyone you can think of. We have sat them down and they tell their story of how they've dealt with depression, anxiety, bad times in life, suicidal thoughts or actions, addiction. And they really open themselves up and give a very raw interview, not even a testimony is what we call them. We call them testimonies. And then we put the video up on YouTube and a professional photo is taken by Laura of the artist. And we actually just released a book this year of all the testimonies and the photo and the portrait of everyone that has partaken it so far. So we have everyone from Aaron Nordstrom, AC Slade, Burt McCracken, Carla Harvey, Chad Gray, Corey Taylor, Christian Machado, Heidi Shepherd, Jesse Leach, Jim Root, Jonathan Davis, Matt Heafy, Otep Shemaya, Richard Patrick, Bumblefoot, Tommy Vext, and yours truly, Tim number 37 Martinez, we're all in this book that you can get more information at the rockfoundation.org. And, they did my testimony, and I opened up a lot about my past issues with depression, cutting, suicidal thoughts and actions, and addiction. I don't know if I said that. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing for me to do, as I'd never really opened up this much and this raw as I did for this, but I knew how important this was.
Yeah.
And then from there, I helped them get Otep, and then we recently did Diamond from Tetrarch, and I'm now like a spokesperson. I'm an official ambassador and a spokesperson for the Rock Foundation. So like I did at incarceration, I'm going to be doing that more, going out to events and festivals with just my camera and taking over their Instagram and Facebook pages and just getting many testimonies from people like I got from you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, everyone just look up the Rock Foundation. We're on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. We're all over the place. And our YouTube page as well. Just Google the Rock Foundation and you'll find everything that you need. And I'm really honored and proud to be a part of it. And it makes me feel like my life has more purpose again. Seeing as the music industry isn't what it was, and since I was like one of the last generation of VJs, because music television doesn't exist anymore. I mean, we do have indie music TV, which I was a part of for about 5 years after my stint with Fuse was over. I was a VJ on indie music TV, and I had a show called Indie Diaries. And we had 2 seasons of Indie Diaries. I mean, you could see all of that at indiemusic.tv, and it's indimusic.tv. Just search under shows Indie Diaries, and you could see every episode of the 2 seasons. Unfortunately, with Uranium, that was before all of this became a thing. So you can find episodes on YouTube, but there's no official Uranium page or anything. So good luck with that.
Oh,
but the Rock Foundation is now my passion project, as well as I have a monthly party called Girl Power, which mixes 2 of my favorite things in the world, female-fronted punk rock metal bands and drag queens. So if you're in New York City or ever find yourself in New York City, the 3rd Wednesday of every month, my business partner, Carlos Acosta, who owns one of the biggest Madonna-based parties in New York City called Icon Project, he and I collaborated and created this because he loves rock and roll and I love drag queens. He had all the connections for the drag queens and I had all the connections for the music, for the bands. So we created this Girl Power event, and he shows music videos from everyone like Sushi and the Banshees to Garbage to Madonna to Blondie, in between the bands and the queens. A drag queen, 2 drag queens perform between each band, and it brings together a couple of different worlds that people wouldn't think would mix and match together, but it has so beautifully that we're going on 6 months of doing this monthly event. And I'm going to be doing some more events for the Rock Foundation. We're in talks of doing benefit events and featuring bands that have either already been a part of our company or our fight against breaking the stigma of mental health, as well as suicide prevention, and you know, just trying to incorporate more and do like U Rock Foundation events that I would putting together.
That's
so
great.
And I definitely want to do it in different states. So Cleveland, I'll most likely be seeing you within the next year. And
yeah, if there's anything I can do to help out, man,
you'll be one of the first people I hit up.
And I, you know, I just want to say about like bringing two different worlds together. You know, the power of music, what it's able to do to bring people together. I mean, you know, on paper, if people were to, you know, people that know me, look at me or whatever, I, you know, on paper, if we wrote down like our political views and our beliefs, you know, religious beliefs and stuff like that, me and you are probably on opposite sides of the page on a lot of things, you know,
probably.
Honestly, but this, you know, but the thing is that, you know, that makes this work. And this is two grown adults having a conversation. There's finding that middle ground. What do we both believe in? What are we both passionate about? You know, and we're both passionate about mental illness, about suicide prevention, and music.
Yes.
You know, and
absolutely.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be your friend, to get to know
you,
to talk to you right now. I mean,
pleasure is all mine.
You know, I guess I would be considered maybe like a born again Christian myself. I went through some stuff when I came home from the Middle East. I got sober. I got saved.
Oh,
you know?
I can imagine. My dad is a sergeant in the United States Army, and he fought in Vietnam. And I've heard stories, so I can only imagine. And but I do want to say thank you so much for your service and your sacrifice. Thank you.
And it's just
so much.
You know, that for me and my recovery, what helps keep me sober, you know, is my faith. I lean on Jesus Christ and stuff. But it's not doesn't prevent me. My faith and what I believe does not prevent me from reaching out and becoming a brother to you. And I hope the world starts to realize this, because it's so polarized right now. And I think something like this is what we can do to unite a country so divided, is we find what we're passionate about. We find what the real common enemy is with losing so many people.
We find our common ground.
Yes.
And we hold hands and we create just a line of love, because that's really what it's about. It's about love. Love thy neighbor, love yourself, and just spread love and positivity. I know times get hard. Life gets hard. Life gets tough. But we survive. We're survivors. We just really have to believe in that ourselves. And, you know, I hope with the U Rock Foundation and the messages that people like Corey Taylor and Jonathan Davis and myself have shared, our struggles with depression and addiction and suicidal thoughts and whatnot, and anything and everything. That's why the work that we do with the U Rock Foundation is so important. And even though it's not a benefit thing, but that's how I feel about my Girl Power events as well, because drag is an art form that's very much like punk and heavy metal in the aspect that it goes against the grain and what's considered the norm by the status quo. And I love bringing all sorts of worlds together, because God knows I'm a fucking enigma. I am all over the place, my life and my likes and my loves and what I do with it. And I wouldn't have it any other way, because it makes me.
Exactly. And it makes, you know, it's our uniqueness that we're allowed to. It's
exactly.
Like our uniqueness and creativity, almost like the world wants to conform us all into like a cookie cutter, you know. And that's not what it's about, man. We are uniquely created and shine, brother. I support you 100%, man.
Thank you. And I you. And on that note, I have to cut our time, because I do have some obligations I have to attend to. But I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. I want to thank everyone who's listening and anyone who knows who I am, or if you're just getting to know me, hi. I want to thank everybody that's always supported me, because Ohio has always been so good to me. I've done shows in Ohio with Forever in Terror and Chris Bianchi of CB Entertainment and Legend Recordings. He's like a brother to me, and I love him and his family. But I want to just say thank you to everyone in Ohio who has always supported me in my almost 2 decades of being in this insane industry. And I'm just very grateful for any friend and fan and supporter that I've ever, ever had, because I never expected any of this would have ever happened for me. And I'm grateful that it did. And I'm grateful to have the platform in order to help others, because that's what it's about. I did have my time. I had my party guy time. And now it's, and over the past few years and for the rest of my life, it's time to really pay it forward. And if y'all want to follow me, I'm easy to find on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just at Tim37, TIMNO37. So find me, follow me. I'll probably follow you back. And just want to say much love to everyone. And I want to say thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, real quick, man. I just wanted to say, too, everything that we've gone through in life, even during our darkest times, it happened for a reason. And now, I mean, you have this platform to give back and to do good with it. Just as I feel like I went through what I went through to have the same opportunity to give back.
Yeah.
So I don't believe there's any coincidences. And I'm glad that us becoming friends is no coincidence either. I want to ask one last thing before I let you go, since, you know, I usually like to end with a musical track. And since we were talking about this subject here of how the U Rock Foundation, how music can save, you know, our lives in the darkest time, is there a particular song that lifted you up from one of your lowest spots in life?
Oh my God. Marilyn Manson, Man That You Fear.
Okay. Awesome.
Marilyn Manson's Man That You Fear. That track, That was the track that spoke to me and made me really want to rethink the suicidal thoughts that I was having, and really made me feel that I wasn't alone in this world. Manson's Man, I used to joke and say I wanted those lyrics on my gravestone when I die. And I'm not sure if I'm still joking about it, though, actually. But
it's a great song.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very, very powerful song. So, yes, Marilyn Manson, Man That You Fear.
Awesome. Awesome. And then one last favor I need from you, Tim, before we cut off.
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
Can you give me a promo ID for the radio show?
Yeah, sure. What do you need me to say?
Just introduce yourself and say, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
All right. Today's what? Boon what?
Boondoggle.
Doggle. D-O-G-L-E?
No, D-O-G-G-L-E. Boondoggle.
Okay.
Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's up, everybody? I'm Tim number 37 Martinez, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. I'm glad
my pleasure. We
got it done. We were able to get this done.
Yes, we finally did.
Hey, man.
Thank you. Let me know when it's ready. Send me the link and whatnot.
I will, man. Hey, man, I love you. I'm glad we got
Nothing
to talk to get this done. And
thank you.
Keep in touch, and as soon as it's ready
Absolutely.
To go up, I will let you know.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Everyone, have a blessed, blessed day and blessed life. Nothing but love.
All right, brother. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Adulterers, fornicators, and drunkards, and thieves, and liars. I mean, you know, it just doesn't fit with Christianity. You're a Christian.
That's all in the sugar. Muscles atrophy. And what TV? Spread me open, sticking to my pointy ribs. Are all your infants in abortion cribs? I was born into this. Everything turns to shit. The
For tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.